The Psalm 144, we're going to read this psalm very quickly. Here's our portion of Scripture for this evening, and in its midst there will be found a text upon which I will preach. I want to speak on a lesson in happiness for the Free Presbyterian Church in 2008. Read from verse 1 then, please, Psalm 144. Blessed is be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man, that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them, shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters, and from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. As I've said, I want to provide a lesson for us all in the Free Presbyterian Church on the question of happiness for this incoming year. The case of the people that the psalmist David is referring to in the verse 15, the last verse of the psalm, which is our text, is that of being surrounded in all of their circumstances by the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people that is in such a case, that finds themselves in such circumstances. This is how things are with them. And that being so, well, happy is such a people that is in such a case. Happiness is a commodity that is much sought after, but very rarely obtained. You young ones, listen to that. It is much desired, but rarely found. The possession of it is oftentimes announced, only for it to be realized all too soon that what was really possessed was not happiness, but a sham and a counterfeit. I cannot read the newspapers or listen to any outlet of the media without hearing someone proclaiming the fact that they have found someone or found something that's just making them totally happy. They've never been so happy. This is most wonderful. And they're all starry-eyed and gooey-hearted about the matter. Until the next headlines, when divorce proceedings have already broken forth or whatever. And all this happiness turned out to be just a sham. We're pretty well aware and of these things, acquainted with the basis of what it is I've just said. Man thinks he finds happiness, thinks he has found happiness. Some people think they've found it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It all comes to nothing. It's a wonderful thing to be happy. But let me tell you, it's not to be found in the places that people commonly believe it is found. In our text, we're told about true happiness, who it is that possesses it, and wherein it consists, and where it is to be obtained. Let's read that verse again, for if what I say is right, this verse holds a lot of information, as I've just stated. So let's read it again, slowly and carefully. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Let me commence by pointing out to you that happiness is the direct result of deliverance from the ways of the world. That's what the psalm teaches us. And that's what the text of Scripture we are speaking from points us back to. See how it starts? Happy is that people that is in such a case. What case? Happy is the people that are in such circumstances. What circumstances? Well, you've got to retrace your way up through the verses until you come to an explanation. David says in verse 11, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. You see that? The verse 11 tells us of David's desire to be rid of the hand of strange children. That is, to be out from under their influence, to live free from their power, and well separated away from them. Rid me, he says, and deliver me from these people. Why do you want this, David? Verse 12, that our sons and our daughters and our garners, verse 13, and our sheep, verse 13, and our oxen, verse 14, and our streets, verse 14, will all be benefited as a result of being rid of the hand of strange children. Those that are alien to our ways as the people of God. So I come back to you and I say that happiness is the direct result of God delivering us from the ways of the world. How many people entertain the notion that in the world there is to be found happiness? If we get along to its restaurants and along to its nightclubs and along to its places of entertainment, if we buy its literature, if we peruse all that it offers to us by way of entertainment, oh, there we'll find happiness. No, that's not what David thought. He says, if I could only be rid of it all, no longer influenced by it. What makes heaven heaven? The total absence of sin and the fullness of the presence and manifested glory of God. David is seeking at least a little touch of heaven here on earth. He says, let me be rid of earthliness, earthly influences, all that's contrary and strange to the way of righteousness. Let me be rid of it for the sake of my children, my possessions, my city, my citizens. For therein we will find peace, security, and happiness. Before David and his kingdom could possess peace and contentment, the very essence of happiness, he must undergo a deliverance. That's what he's crying to God for. Rid me, please intervene and get rid of. You know, in the psalm, a number of times he makes reference to these strange children. Verse 7, send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters and from the hand of strange children. Only God's hand can deliver us from the hand of strange children. That's what David's asking for. He describes them as those whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Verse 8. Their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. When they shake your hand, they're not being that friendly at all, for it's a false hand. It's a false friendship. It's a false friendship. He goes on in the verse 11, then he repeats what he has said. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. He's really, really homing in on this. This really is something that's heavy on his heart. He knows what these strange children, these strange, that is, alien influences, that exercise some power over Israel and threaten his kingdom. He says, Lord, deliver me from them for the sake of my children and my possessions, my city, and the whole well-being of my kingdom. I repeat, men and women, happiness is the direct result of deliverance from the ways of the world. Happiness could not be enjoyed and cannot be enjoyed under the hand or influence of those who are aliens to grace and to God. We'll not be happy under them. We'll not be happy influenced by them. We'll not be happy as long as they are exercising some restraints upon us, some influences upon us. We can't be happy, because they stand between us and happiness. That's why, rid me of them, David says. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. The controlling influences of this evil world must be broken in our lives if we are to be happy. That's an old-fashioned doctrine, men and women. Perhaps the form in which I have stated it might not just be as familiar, but that's an old-fashioned doctrine. We're going back here to what was common amongst God's people a generation ago. That which I heard when I was first converted as the means and the secret of real holy happiness. You can't be worldly and be happy. You can't have one foot in the world and be happy. You must be sold out to God. You must be delivered from these influences. Holiness was an essential. That's what used to be taught. It used to be driven home to the people of God. They used to be urged to go through with God, to surrender, to yield, to give up everything for God, lay their lives on the altar, die to self and to sin and to the world. That's the deliverance that's being spoken of. Rid me. Take them away from me, that I might be wholly thine. Happiness is found in the way of holiness, not in the way of the world. Deuteronomy chapter 33, the verse 29, is one of many, many, many verses that teaches this particular fact. Happy art thou, O Israel, last verse of chapter 33 of Deuteronomy. Happy art thou, O Israel, Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. Their happiness was found in their peculiarity. There was no one like them on the earth, for they followed the Lord, were governed by Him. He was their God, He was their King, He was their lawgiver. They didn't take instruction or counsel or direction from the world. They took it from God. Happy were they as a result. It's still the case, young people, please. It's still the case. Don't build your life around the world's opinions. Don't dress yourself according to its notions of fashion. Don't formulate your thinking processes, your philosophy of life, upon the stupid notions of men. You'll only have learned today's philosophy to discover tomorrow they've changed it. No, happiness is found in being delivered from all these things. Happiness is found when the controlling influences of this evil world are broken off from us, like a yoke or a harness is broken off an animal. We cannot find happiness in Egypt under Pharaoh. In Matthew 4, you have the temptations of the Lord Jesus by the devil. He took him up into a high temple. He showed him the glories of his kingdoms. All this I'll give to thee. He was saying, here's happiness for you. Here's all that your heart could ever desire. And the Savior refused it. And he said, I can only worship the Lord my God. And it's in worshiping the Lord your God, owning Him as God, living for Him as God, that you will find happiness. A battle against the world must be waged. We have got to fight with all our might against the world. Remember what Paul said to Timothy in chapter 6. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And there in the chapter 6, in the verse 11, he says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So there's a fight to be fought. It's called the good fight. There's no fights in this world are good. Britain's partaking of the battle in Iraq was sold as a good thing. What a miserable affair is turning out to be. Even as it was in the case with Afghanistan. What a miserable affair is turning out to be. The poor soldiers there don't think it's such a wonderful fight. Especially when, so often, they find themselves very ill-equipped by their own government and sent out to fight in a battle without the necessary tools that they should have. And when they come home, why, they're ashamed of them. I read a report where they weren't even allowed, they were flown home because of some problem. They had to land at a civilian airport, I think it may have been Birmingham or somewhere like that, and they weren't allowed off the plane into the airport wearing their uniform. And they had to stand outside in the cold just the other day and change out of the uniform into whatever civilian clothes they had in their kit bag. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be a soldier in the British Army. Isn't that a scandalous thing? A shameful thing? Well, there was a day in this country when anybody in any position that brought about such a situation like that wouldn't sit 2 minutes behind the desk until they were out on the street and out of a job. And rightly so. No. Many things that are glamorized and advertised as great battles and wonderful fights are anything but here is the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. This is the battle that we must fight. David was talking here about this battle. Rid me from the hand of strange children. Set me free from those that would hold power over me. He had to fight them. This is the only battle, you know, where it may be legitimately said, you win it by running away. You win it by running away. What does that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 say again? Why, it's instructions given by Paul to Timothy to run away, to flee. That's what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 11 once again. Look at it. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. That's how you gain a victory over the world. You flee away from it. How did Israel defeat Pharaoh in Egypt? By fleeing away from it. And from him. That's how they got the victory. Getting out of that place. Because they never could be a nation. They never could be free. They never could be happy while they were under the influence of Pharaoh. So it is with this world. Young people, you'll never be happy. You'll never know the blessing of God unless you daily flee from the wickedness that is around you. Touching on that, which is close to what we were pursuing in our afternoon meeting. But please, it's important that you take note of this and take note of it again. Look at 2 Corinthians. You know, we used to look at this a lot more often than we do today. And mind you, we'd need to look at it a lot more often today than we ever did in the past. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Used to be a political slogan. I heard it put to me once. If you're not in, you can't win. Now it rhymes. But it makes no sense in the light of God's word. Of course, it's the political philosophy that's followed today. Oh, if you're not in, you can't win. But if the truth were told, when you get in, you're not winning. You're a slave to the system. And you go on from day to day betraying all that you should believe in and have believed in the past. That's not winning. Oh, that's losing big time. God says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not. That's how much you've got to come out. Don't even touch them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Is that not the absolute essence of being happy? God receiving us, being a father unto us, and we being his sons and daughters. Is that not the essence of happiness? Well, that can only be experienced when we come out from among them. When we get out from the under the influence and the hand of strange children or strange ways. And I'm telling you that when it comes to the question of happiness, there is a need for us to wage war against the world and drive it from us and flee away from it so that we are able to live for the Lord and not under the confinements of the world's ungodly views and notions. As the glories and the joys of redemption will only be experienced in heaven, in their fullness, when this evil world has passed away, so we must escape the influences of this evil world here and now, if we are to enjoy to any degree the mercies and the benefits of God. There's a lesson for us to learn. Where am I going to be full of joy? Full so there's no more room in heaven. And what is there not in heaven? The influence of the world. It's gone. Without heaven, outside of heaven, is every ungodly thing. Inside there's only those who have been washed in the blood. Those who are without sin. There's a lesson for me there. Therefore, I will know more of heaven in my life today if I seek to live in an environment that's at least akin to heaven. A place void of the world. I must break from off me every influence of the world. God help us to do that. God help us to do it and to recognize it. Remember what we read in Romans chapter 12, you young ones in particular? You look at this. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't take on the form, the likeness, the fashion of this world. That's where that old adjective, worldly, comes from. Christians would speak of some who showed a little evidence of backsliding. They're worldly. They're getting like the world. Well, God tells us here, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Be delivered out from under the world's rule, that you might prove and enjoy and experience and taste that good and perfect will of God, wherein is fullness and satisfaction. Happiness, then, is the result of deliverance from the ways of the world. Again, coming back to our text, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We'll notice that happiness is the result of the establishing of the Lord as our God. See that? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Lord is their God. You know, there's a lot of people talk about the Lord being their Savior. But it's clear he's not their God. How? Because they disobey him. They don't show really any affection for him. or devotion to Him. Now that which is your God, you worship, you love, you adore, you seek to please. But there's plenty who talk about Jesus being their Savior. And it's very clear that Jesus is not their God. There's a very important distinction there. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord. He is our God, not only by creation, but more importantly, by covenant relationship. We have a relationship with God that is covenant-based. Covenant-based. You know what a covenant is. It's a legal arrangement whereby the parties of the covenant obligate themselves to perform certain duties to the other party in the covenant. In the holy covenant of matrimony, the husband pledges to the wife and undertakes certain duties and obligations. The wife likewise pledges to the husband and undertakes to see that she will carry out certain obligations to him. That's a covenant. Well, a person who's going to be happy has to have a covenant relationship with God. He is their God. And that by covenant relationship. He it is, in this covenant, who has loved us, chosen us, redeemed us, adopted us as his children, justified us, pardoned us, regenerated us, and keeps us. He has effectually called us into this relationship by his gospel and the power and grace of his Spirit. And he continues to witness with our spirits that we are his and maintains the happy joyfulness of an assurance that all is well. He is our portion, our shield. He's our reward. Indeed, he is our all in all. His covenant, made with us in the person of Christ, its blessings and its promises are all ours. That which the blood sacrifice of Christ purchased on the cross is all ours because we have a covenant relationship with God. And God is obligated to do all these things that I have touched upon and 10,000 times 10,000 more. And our obligation in this covenant? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. To obey his law, to walk in its truth. To own him as your Savior. Before men and devils. That's our obligation. And those who do that are happy. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord. He is our God by a bold and a public profession of his name. He's not your God unless you own him. Unless you own him. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 48 verse 14. This God is our God. And we're not ashamed to tell anyone that very truth. We tell the world that is so.
This God is our God.
Aye, but more than that, we tell the Lord. We tell the Lord. It is so. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord.
We not only tell men that God is our Lord, we tell him. We tell him, you're my God and my Lord. That's what poor old Doubting Thomas said on one occasion. My God, my Lord. What a declaration that was. You need to tell the Lord that now and then. Oh, more than now and then. You need to tell him that more than you tell men that. You need to tell it to him every day and many times in the day. Thou art my God. Thou art my God. Nothing sweeter to the ears of a father or a mother than the little one that owns their motherhood or their fatherhood. They can own it by a smile. They can own it by a little hand creeping into yours. They can own it just by leaning up against you and snuggling up against you. You're mine. Don't you think the Lord likes that? Yes, he does, my friend. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That people that tell him that it is so, having told all around them that it is so. He is our God by a consistent and unapologetic adherence to his word. That's how you own God. You live by his word. You live by his law. You live by his law. His law is my guide. My guide. That is what I live by. What I am determined to live by. Psalm 73, the verse 24. I have so many other verses and I put them down hoping I might get them used, but time usually intervenes. Listen to this verse 24 of Psalm 73. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. See that? That's the declaration of the child of God who knows happiness. I'm going to be guided by God's word. Oh, men and women, I long for a day when Ulster will be once again guided by the word of God. It's not guided by the word of God tonight. It's not. Many things being done in Ulster that are contrary to the word of God. Contrary to the word of God. The Free Presbyterian Church has covenanted and campaigned since its inception, calling upon the people to return to the Word of God. Sadly, there's a mixed message going out tonight. But I want to say very clearly to the Free Presbyterian Church in 2008, the only way to happiness is for us to live by the Word of God. And all that's contrary to it, abandon it, at whatever price that may be. Look again at that verse that I've just mentioned. Verse 24, Psalm 73, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. That's where you're going when you follow God's word. You're going to glory. And as you follow God's word and follow God's counsel, why, there's a little more of glory dawns upon you. Heaven becomes more real and it's closer. You catch a little of its sound. You see a little of its beauty. More and more every day. Every day. As you know, we travel back and forward to Canada. Quite often. And you know, it seems to get further away every time I fly that old journey. And the seats get harder. But you're, nevertheless, even though you're looking at the clock and at the watch and You see, you are making progress. You are getting there. And sure enough, the next thing you know, they're telling you to settle in for the landing. You get there. You get there. Oh, you're going to get to heaven, my friend, when you follow the counsel of the Lord. You're getting nearer and nearer every day. Praise the Lord. Let me say, thirdly, finally, happiness springs from God's blessing on all that we have and do. Now, God's blessing will not be on all that we have and all that we do unless we have begun to follow the Lord and organize things in our life according to His Word. And we'll not be able to organize things in our life according to His Word until we get rid of all the worldly influences that demand a place in our lives. So you see, there is a link between each of the points that I have made. Happiness springs from God's blessing on all that we have and do. If we can get God's blessing on everything we do, everything we have, we're going to be enjoying happiness. Note the words in verse 11 through to 12 of the Psalm 140. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons accomplish this deliverance, then, as a result, our sons and our daughters, etc., etc. When God gives deliverance from the ways of the world, it results in benefits upon all that we have and all that we are. That's the truth. That's the truth, my friend. The animals that belong to a man who's living for God, they may not recognize it, but they're in better circumstances than any other animals. God's smile is on them. Yes. Because they belong to the man whose life is so ordered as to be rid of the world and to live for God alone. And upon that man comes God's blessing, and upon all that that man has or is. God's blessing comes on his family, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Psalm 128 uses similar language. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Children like olive plants. The olive plant was a wonderful plant. It supplied so many needs to the family. It was a source of rich, rich, rich blessing. And the man who walks with the Lord, his children, are like olive plants. They supply much richness to the family. They're a blessing many times over. Here in 144th Psalm, the statement is that our sons may be as plants. There's a distinction made between the function and role of the son and the daughter. Here, the function is that the sons may be as plants. That which grows, becomes strong, yields its fruit, becomes the source of future plants. Because it's through our sons that our family has carried on. And our name lives. And the man whose ways please the Lord, his sons, shall become a source of blessing and joy. His daughters? Well, look, girls, at what it says. Now, these are God's words. And God's words about you. I trust it's about you. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. You know what a cornerstone is? It's a stone that holds the building together. That's what it is. And daughters, that's your role. Hold the family together. Hold the household together. Perform a function so as to bind the family. Mum is a very important person in the family. God always had a wonderful role for mothers and ordained a wonderful role for mothers. The women's liberation movement doesn't have any function whatsoever to perform with regards advancing the cause of women. It has a function to perform to destroying women, but not to advancing them. For the Word of God has advanced the cause of women long before there was any earthly organization. Young lassies, God wants you to be his cornerstones. And then let's look at it. Cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Godly young women are a rich ornament to any household. In the Song of Proverbs, a good woman, a godly woman, is likened unto rubies. Oh, I hope you see your children as rubies. I hope your children are rubies. What a treasure they are. You'll notice they're polished. I think I preached on this one time, and I said, you'll notice God said they're polished, not painted. Throw away the muck, girls, if you happen to have any. Or any thoughts of having any. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. It's hateful to see people taking upon themselves actions that they feel will enhance what God has done for them. Scrub your face with a good hard cloth and strong soap. And whatever's left after the scrubbing, that's you. And just be content with what you are. Because, mind you, I have yet to see any improvements after the paint pot has been out. I've yet to see it. And that ring round the neck where it's all a nice pastel shade of brown above it, but below it, it looks a little more natural. Oh, the Lord deliver us from such folly. Say us, because there's men that need delivered from it today as well. This is the family that God blesses. And this is the way the family develops, when God's blessing is upon a man or a woman. And upon that man or woman, God's blessing will be if they get rid of the world and own God as their God alone. You'll see that the blessing's not only on the family, it's on the property. Didn't I tell you? You know, there's boys who say, oh, it's all right, thinking not faith and all the rest of it, but you've got to do your bit. The money won't fall off trees. Well, I want to tell you this. You'll not accumulate riches to the benefits of you or anyone belonging to you by following worldly ways. But look. look at what this man says. This man inspired by God. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What is this happiness consist of? Why? We read that God's blessing will be upon their children. And, verse 13, our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor. A man who lives for God, his property will be owned and blessed of God. When God sent his judgment upon Egypt, and the houses of the Egyptians were smitten, the houses of the Israelites were safe. It was dark, for instance, in the time of the plague of darkness. It was dark everywhere. But in the house of the Israelite, there, the light was shining. Because God's blessing was on it. God's blessing was on it. Haggai 2 and verse 19. In the book of Haggai, God says, your harvests have failed. Your prosperity has ceased. You thought you'd make so much money out of the labors of the year. Lo and behold, you put your money in a bag and as if it was full of holes, because there's less in the bag now than when you put something into it. Things are not working out for you. Why? Because you haven't put me first. That's basically what his message was. You put yourself first. And you haven't put me first. Now, if you put me first and begin to build as you were sent to build, then things will change. Haggai 2:19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day I will bless you. What day was that? The day that they began to work as God wanted them to work. That very day. That very day. As soon as the labor on the site began and the first stones were laid, God's blessing descended. There was no evidence of it because it wasn't yet harvest time, but the vine and the fig tree within it, invisible to the eyes of men, was working as God made it to grow. Filled it with rich sap. Put God first. And even your property and your possessions will be blessed. God's blessing is on the property of the righteous. Look at their territories. Halfway through the verse 14. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Ha! So here's how it's done. And I thought it was to make a coalition with Sinn Féin IRA. I thought that's how you get peace.
No. And the Quinn family could tell you that, as well as so many others who are still living under the iron heel of Republican murderers of whatever shade.
No, God will even give peace and security in our streets when God is our God. And we rid ourselves of the influences of the world. Do you understand that? Do you worry about the safeguarding of your children and the security of them? Do you? You know the best way to do it? The best way to do it is to live for God. Rid yourself of the world. And own Him. In a fashion that's pleasing to Him. Peace, security, quietness. No complaining, no breaking in. No breaking in. Man, wouldn't some politicians love to find the answer to all the rascality that's going on in the country? Every time you open the newspaper, some poor old pensioner has been attacked in some way or other, robbed, disturbed, their house vandalized in some form or other. Old ladies in the street, old men in the street, attacked and robbed and mugged. Here's the answer. Now, God's either a liar, or here's the answer. No breaking in, or going out to war, having to go forth to fight. Even that is taken care of. How often we read in the scriptures, God gave them rest. Do you know whenever it was? Following a reformation within the country, when they threw off the yoke of the world and the yoke of wickedness, and they began to pledge themselves once more to God and live under His rule. Then God gave them victory and gave them peace and rest. We're not on the road to victory. We're not on the road to rest. The road we're traveling on at this moment. The road that will bring to us this wonderful blessing of no breaking in, no going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. That road is the road outlined, as I have sought to do in this message. Whenever we throw off the influences of the world, whenever we establish the Lord as our God, then God's blessing will be upon everything that we have and everything we are. This is not what all governments understand. Indeed, I should say no government understands. It's what all governments would seek to bring about and promise their people that they will bring it about, but they utterly fail. Every one of them fails. It never works. It just doesn't work. Everything's rising this, rising that, and rising the other things. They've got to build new jails. They don't hold enough. Now they've stopped putting people in jail. There's no room for them. And letting people out of jail before they've served their sentence. There's no room for them. Because all the policies don't work. But here's a policy that will work. May God teach Ulster that this is the case. The recent arrangements made in our country won't bring what has been promised. It won't bring the prosperity that's been promised. There's been a much publicized look to America to bring us work and toil and labor and profits, naturally enough. We're not going to be enriched by all those activities. But bringing in more and more of the world's influence. You know, all these businessmen that will come from America, they'll want their staff to what? Work on the Sabbath. This is what they'll want. There'll be more Sabbath breaking. And all the outlets that will be opened up, commercial enterprise, they'll all be Sabbath breaking enterprises. Very opposite to what God says will bring peace and comfort and joy and blessing. That's what we're importing. Oh, there's a high price to be paid for such imports as is being sought today. No, they haven't got the answer and the arrangements and the policies that have been followed in Stormont. It's not per it. Is that not why? In order to get this prosperity, that political principles have been abandoned in order that a union with murderers might be formed, for this is the only way, they say, that we can get prosperity. You know, that's saying God's wrong. That's what that's saying. That is saying what David says here in Psalm 144 is a falsehood, a lie, a deceit, an empty thing. No, here's what we have to do. Sell our principles. Change our views. Adopt a new course. Enter into a coalition with murderers. That's the way to prosperity. Not according to my Bible. If David is right, and he is, then Ulster has taken the very wrong road. And it will not find what it's seeking for down that road. It'll find nothing but disappointment, disillusionment. it will reap the consequences of abandoning God's way. It will. We do not glory in that happening. No, sir. It grieves us at the prospect of that happening. Grieves us for the sake of the poor people who listen to it. Grieves us for the sake of those involved, that they ever believed such nonsense and began to promote it. We feel for them all. May God have mercy upon this land. And may the truths of this text yet find its way into hearts and lives. Lay hold upon those hearts and lives and minds and spirits. Take root and grow. And may there be a returning unto the old paths once again. Oh, pray to that end, dear Christian. And live according to that which we have sought to set forth from this text. May God bless His word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Lord, we thank Thee for Your mercy. We thank You for Your help this day, Lord. Lord, may it profit. May it profit many. We ask of Thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.